Good morning. Thanks for coming out and spending your spring break with us. It was a little cheaper than going to Florida, wasn't it? We're going to be in the rest of chapter 12. We're not going to look at verses 28 through 31, but we're going to be looking at 12 through 26. A reminder of where we were last week, just in case you weren't here. We looked at verses 1 through 11, and we talked about spiritual gifts. And we talked about how each one of us, upon physical birth, which is the case for all of us, natural birth, each one of us is given natural talents by God. We're given natural talents by God. Every one of us has those. And then upon spiritual birth, when we give our lives to Christ and we receive the Holy Spirit, we are given spiritual gifts by God, both of which natural talents and spiritual gifts are by God, and they're to be used for Him and His glory. So as we come to this subject and we transition from recognizing spiritual gifts to what is your part in that and how do you play your part in that, because now we're going to talk about the body, and you probably heard the passage, or maybe you haven't, about where Paul emphasizes and uses as an example the body. And people have been fascinated by the body for a long time. I mean, way back in the day, how it worked, and you know, it's a very intricate thing. Clearly, only a divine provider, only God, could put together such an amazing thing as the body and how it works. But people have looked at it and tried to figure it out for a long time, and although they've gotten some answers, they certainly can't get all of them, because it's still a mystery, and it's amazing. We know that it's many, many, many different parts. Some seem less significant than others. Some you wonder, why that one? But then something happens, and you realize, that's why that one. You need that. But it's really about the beauty of not just a diversity of parts, a diversity of different functions. It's how it comes together and works in unity to give life. Not uniformity, because we can look at the body and we can see that it's not uniformity. There's different parts. They look different. They function different. They act different. They need different things. But they function in unity so that there can be life. And the same is true, and I want you to hear that today. The same is true for the body of Christ, the church. We can look different, have a little different tastes or preferences or styles or that sort of thing, but the same goal, which is unity in Christ through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's where we find that. The first part of this passage, and you guys don't got my clicker. The first part of this passage in verse 12 says this. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body, one body. That's why when the body, the church, and I think each church is its own body. I think the whole church of a Christian church out there in the world is a body too, but I think each individual church, God gives that church the ability to be the body for their community. I think that we are called to be a body, the body of Christ for our community. So is the church down the road. That's their responsibility as well if they proclaim Jesus Christ. And we can come together and we can do that, but I just want to clarify that. Paul is speaking very specifically to the church in Corinth. He planted several other churches, began several other churches, but this is a church in Corinth he's talking about, and he's telling them that they are the body of Christ. And he meant that when he talked to the Galatians, and he meant that when he talked to the Philippians, and a church in Philippi, and he meant that in all the churches that he planted and began and ministered to. And so the body is many parts, and though it's many parts, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were baptized in one spirit into one body. We were all baptized by one spirit into one body. We talked about that. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, there's not an easier road for this race or that race, or for this sinner or that sinner. We don't scale those things. And we were all given the one spirit to drink. Some people struggle with that. What's that mean? It's simply when you receive the Holy Spirit, it's sort of like drinking in something, because it enters into you and it saturates as a drink does. It saturates as water would if you dumped it over you. It consumes. It goes to every part of you. It hydrates each and every part of you. And so that's the example there of using that spirit to drink. There's only one spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. Jesus said he was leaving behind a counselor. You know, if we look at John 17, chapter 17, you can look it up later when he's departing, and he says, I'm going to leave you a counselor. He's going to be able to, you know, guide you, and you can count on him. That's the spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. There's going to be one of those, and you can count on him. If you'll receive me, you receive him. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And so that's how he starts off, reminding them of this. And then we go into this big body thing. So we're going to go through a few verses here. So bear with me. You can follow along in your Bibles if you want to. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. See, it's silly when we do that. It's silly when we try to say, well, I don't have that gift, so therefore I'm not part of the body. Or I don't have that kind of talent or that kind of ability. I don't have that kind of time, that kind of whatever. So therefore, I'm not part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Imagine that. You know, we've talked about that. This picture that Paul is painting for this church in Corinth is one of the most amazing pictures ever written in Scripture about describing the church, describing the body of Christ. Imagine if we were just an eye. Imagine if we were just an ear. And it's understandable in the context in which Paul says it, because if we were, then we wouldn't be able to hear if we were just an eye. And if we were just an ear, we wouldn't be able to see. And if we were, and if we didn't have, you know, a nose, and we couldn't smell, and we couldn't partake in all the senses that it requires to be able to go out there into our world and be the body of Christ. It takes all those parts. None are more significant than the other. None is less significant. But in God has arranged the parts, but in the act, God has arranged all the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them. We talked about this in verse 11, that he determined, he distinguished, he outlined how he wanted things. So you can desire to grow in your gifts, you can desire and pray for other gifts to be given to you, but you also got to recognize that he knows what he's doing, and he's gifted you for a reason how you are. And so you can accept that and use that and go to work for him just like you're ready. It's not a matter of like, now you need to, you know, go to school for 12 years or do this or do that. Once you receive Christ and the Holy Spirit's in you, the Spirit has gifted you. He's gifted you. You get that. You have a gift, at least one, probably more than one, that you can use for the body. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And if you question this whole body analogy at all, just think about your body personally for a minute. Think about the significance of certain body parts. You don't think that they're a big deal until they come into play. And some things like an appendix, you know, apparently you can lose that. I got rid of that when I was a kid. Don't need that. But then you think about other things, like have you ever stubbed your toe at night? All of a sudden, that part of the body that seems weaker, it's not indispensable. And you know it really, really well. And the whole body knows it, too. It's really, really not a mystery. You know, you step on a Lego at night. That kind of stuff happens to me. It's a terrible thing. You know, you get a headache. I got a headache. I had a headache yesterday all day, just this terrible migraine. It's sort of going away today. But I get those sometimes when the weather changes, the pressure or something gets me. I don't know what it is. But you get that, and you think, it just, the whole body suffers in that, so you understand it better. You know, if you pulled a hamstring, you know, that sort of thing, you kind of know what that's like. If you hit your finger with a hammer, that's about the only thing on your mind right then. The whole body sort of kind of goes to that feeling right there. And that's what Paul is getting at when he's talking about this, is don't think of that part as weaker or insignificant, because you'll realize, and you probably have, that each part is significant. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. Well, our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Equal concern for each other. And you know what I'm talking about if you've had a problem within your body, if you've been unable to use your arm for a while or that sort of a thing, and how hard that gets, how difficult that is. You know, you have a Charlie horse, you know, and all of a sudden everything stops. You hit your funny bone, which really isn't that funny. I'm not really sure why they call it the funny bone. But that's what Paul is trying to convey to us. There should be no division in the body, that all parts should have equal concern for each other. And then this is what he says in verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And this is true with what we just said, but talking about this in context of the body of Christ, when one of us is suffering, when one of us is struggling, when one of us is in trouble, when one of us is going through some adversity, like, you know, so-and-so's, you know, wife cheated on them and now they're struggling and they're going through, we should all be bothered by that. The body of Christ should enter into that pain with them, should mourn and should grieve and should suffer with them. That's what the body of Christ does. The body of Christ doesn't rejoice because our brother or sister is struggling. We come alongside them and we try to help them. We try to cover for that body part, help that body part that's not working, right? You do that with your own body. When it's something's not working right, you have to do something else, you know, your back hurts, you have to walk different, you have to do this, you have to, you know, you cover for that body part, you kind of protect that body part, you provide for that body part the support in which it needs in order to function best it can. And all too often, I think that we're a people, when we see a part suffering, we find joy in that. I've been that guy. Maybe you're not at that point to admit that this morning. I don't know, but I've been that guy where, you know, you see that Christian, that, because this is what we're talking about here. We're not talking about, you know, random people. We're not talking about, you know, we see that Christian who has that incident, has that arrest, has that, you know, whatever it might be, and we rejoice in that, or we find some sort of happiness in that, or odd pleasure. That's not what the body does. When you're part of the body of Christ, when one part suffers, the whole thing suffers. We come alongside that part and we help it. And when one part is honored, we rejoice with it. And so we ask ourselves, though, as we look at this, is this how we react? How do you react when you hear the fall of someone maybe that you didn't like, who was a Christian at another church, say, maybe at a church that you didn't necessarily agree with? How do you respond to that? What's the thoughts that go into your mind? Do you go to prayer and humility for that person and try to reach out to them, maybe write them a letter and encourage them and support them? Or do you just rejoice in and spread it to everybody else you can about how so-and-so's finally fallen off the... How do you respond to that? My guess is that most of us all too often respond to that in a negative way. We don't respond to that in a way in which is godly. And we see this over and over again with Jesus Christ. When people encountered him, or people were brought to him who were sinners or had issues or whatever, you know, he reacted with empathy and with sympathy, and he came alongside that sinner and he loved that sinner. He stood up for that sinner. He helped that sinner. I mean, that's always the way he reacted. We are the body of Christ. That's who you and I are. We're to represent like that. Are we representing like that? Are we doing that? If one part is honored, are we jealous about that? If somebody gets a little special notoriety, you know, the guy down the street becomes sort of a mega pastor because, you know, his church grows to whatever. Are we jealous of that? We're on the same team. We're all part of the body of Christ. And we can come together and we can worship and we can do that with them. And we do that in our own building. We are a body here, but we're an extended body across the world of those who confess Jesus Christ. And so when one part is honored, what do we do with that? How do we respond to that? It should be that every part rejoices with it. In Romans, it talks about that when one part mourns or one part struggles, and it says it with rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That's what it says in Romans 12:15. That's what we're called to do. So if there's happiness amongst the family, amongst the body, then we enter into that with them and we celebrate with them. And if there's something bad going on, the same thing, we enter into that with them and we try to help them. So the body has a responsibility here, and we need to recognize whether we're playing this role or whether we're enjoying the suffering or the struggling of another body part. And then in verse 27, it says this: "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." And this takes it to a whole different level, because Paul takes this body analogy, using body parts like the hand can't say to the foot and the head can't say to the... He does all that sort of stuff. And then he gets to this passage, but now you are the body of Christ. And what he's saying is, individually, you and me, and collectively here and collectively across the world, Christians, you are the body of Christ, meaning literally. Bear with me here. I'm not going to go long. Literally. You see, Jesus isn't on earth anymore. He took his rightful place in heaven, and he's waiting for those who call on him to go spend eternity with him. He left you and I here to be him. You are the body of Christ. You see, when Jesus needs a student, a child taught about himself, he looks for one of us to teach that child. When Jesus needs someone healed or helped because they're sick, he looks for one of us as a doctor or a surgeon or someone who can pray over that person to be those hands and feet to do that. We have become literally that. When Jesus needs an errand ran for someone to go to a certain place and to share the gospel with somebody who desperately needs to hear it, we're to be that person that runs the errand for Jesus Christ. Most very literally, that's what Paul is saying. It's an incredible illustration that he draws here. One of the greatest things that we as Christians, as the body of Christ, get to do is literally partake in the helping Jesus Christ do his thing here on this earth while we're here. There's something awfully amazing about that, that God would look at you and he'd look at me and he'd say, yeah, you guys are going to be, you guys, look in your own mirror when you get in the car, look in your own mirror when you get at home. You are the body of Christ. Someone, some child needs to hear about Jesus. Someone needs to be witnessed to. Someone needs to be helped monetarily. Someone needs to be brought to church and given a ride. Someone needs, and that's you, or that's me. It's a great example in it, and it causes us to realize the significance of our part. So when we say, well, I don't know if I'm really gifted that much in the whole spiritual gifts thing, reminder that we have a spiritual gifts class on the 29th of April here on a Saturday, 9-2, if you can't make it. I have a spiritual gifts inventory right here. If that's something you want to take because you can't make it to the class and you want to figure out what your gifts are, then do that. Take that. But like I said last week, it's not necessarily a matter of waiting. It's a matter of get plugged in somewhere, roll your sleeves up and serve somewhere, but then also go ahead and ask for people to help you figure out what your spiritual gifts are so you can use them to the best of your ability, because the body needs you. Jesus was counting on you and me. And that's amazing, because some of us can't be counted on by our own spouse or our own kids, or right? I mean, let's be honest. We just can't be. We fail them. Jesus Christ was counting on you and on me to do his work here, to be the body, to be his body, to go out into this world. Now, there's a few things that we learn from this passage that Paul gives us that we can take with us, if you will, and I want to share those with you as we get ready to close here. Three things. The first thing we ought to realize from Paul's words here is we ought to realize that we need one another. We ought to realize that we need one another. So if there's ever an attitude of, well, we don't really need that part. That guy just kind of is in the back. That kind of guy just kind of sits in the booth back there and sleeps like he is right now. He's really not necessary. Did I get everybody to look at him? We need one another. You know, Church would not be the same if one person just did everything. It would just not be the same. I can't do it. Roger can't do it. Ryan can't do it. Rick can't do it. But collectively we can, and with the elders and with the council and with the greeters and with the teachers and with the usher. I can't play music. I can't sing. And these guys usher us into a great spot. It's a vehicle to bring us into right a spirit with God before we hear the word. That's needed. We're blessed to have a wonderful team that can play anything and do whatever. They're incredible. We got teachers up and down the hall. We got all sorts. We got people working on the grounds out here during the week, picking weeds and straightening things up so that it looks good. We got people fixing things. We got people cutting bread and cutting donuts and making bread and bringing it in and doing this and working at funeral dinners. You could go on and on and on and on. We ought to realize our need for one another. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. It can't do that. That wasn't God's design for the body. For this body, or for this body, or for the global body. We need one another. We ought to respect one another. The second thing we could learn from Paul's words. We ought to respect one another. We shouldn't look at what they do as trivial or small, or maybe we could go without that, or we don't have to put as much energy into that, or dollars into that, or encouragement into that. Yeah, every part needs to be encouraged the same. Every part needs to be funded the same. Every part needs to matter. There's got to be a respect level there for what one each part does, because when that part, just like with the body, when that part, when that stub toe happens, that's the part that matters. Every part matters. And when that part of the body, whatever it might be, is hurting or struggling or needing help, whether it's teachers or whether it's, you know, sound booth people or whether it's what, that should matter to all of us. And we should rally around that, be praying about that, and see how we might make a difference. We ought to realize we need one another. We ought to respect one another. And we also ought to sympathize with one another. I can't believe that Jesus Christ would leave heaven and come to earth because he sympathized with me. He knew my need for him to do that. And he humbled himself for my family, for this church. And he sympathized with my position that I was unable to get to the Father without him coming and offering up his life for me. And we have to sympathize with that person that maybe we don't see as significant, we don't see as worthy, we don't see as important, because we're the body of Christ. We have to enter into them, enter into their situation, their circumstance, and we have to care. When one part weeps, every part should weep. Because when each part of us wept, Jesus wept. And he still weeps every time you and I struggle, because he loves us. He's called you and I to be the body of Christ, the church. That requires all of us to recognize our spiritual gifts, and that requires all of us to get plugged in and use them, and thus we can function, not in uniformity, because we're not all going to look the same, but in unity, even with differences in personality, differences in styles, differences in maybe things that are important to us, we have the same goal. And the goal is to make known Jesus Christ in our families, in our communities, in our world, through our actions, through our words, through our lifestyle. That's our responsibility. He looked at you and he looked at me and said, I'm giving this to you. What will we do with that? Will we be obedient as he calls us to go? Will we go? As he calls us to sacrifice, will we sacrifice? As he calls us to care upon others and respect others and sympathize with others, will we do that? Will we be the body of Christ? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I have failed miserably at doing my part in the body many times. But Father, your calling, your word is clear that you left behind work for us to do. You clearly counted on us being the feet that ran errands for you, the hands that helped the poor for you, the minds and hearts that taught children about you. Father, you called us to be each and every part of you for this world so that this world might be pointed to your Son, Jesus. Father, help us, convict us, Lord, in our innermost being to recognize the significance and the importance of our calling, of our role, to recognize our natural talents and our spiritual gifts and to use them for the body of Christ. Because that is when you are exalted. That is when you are glorified. That is when you are honored. That is when others are drawn unto you, when your people act like your Son, Jesus. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.